We're in 2 Samuel, chapter 18, and we resume our study in verse 29 today. 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 29. Follow along in your Bible if you're able to do that, as we read and study the Bible verse by verse. 2 Samuel, chapter 18, let's read verse 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, which has delivered up the men who lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And of course, that's good news so far for David. Of course, it all depends on what he means by "God has delivered up." And right now, David has a bigger concern than winning this war. And as we saw last time, that bigger concern is his son Absalom, which he commanded his men to spare. Look at verse 29. You can see where David's heart is. And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." It is important that David remains king. But it is more important to him that his son Absalom is okay. Both were important, but you see where David's priorities are. Position and career and wealth are all very nice, but the people we care about are more important than anything. All those things we think are so important suddenly become meaningless when a loved one is in danger. 30. And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord has avenged you this day of all them that rose up against you." And that's got to be making David a little nervous there. And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do you hurt, be as that young man is." David had a one-track mind. All the terrible things Absalom has done to him do not matter at the moment. Isn't real love an amazing force? Disappointment and mistreatment cannot douse real love. It may reduce the fire to sparks at times, but the Bible says many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. So again, David asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" In the last part of verse 32, again, Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do you hurt, be as that young man is." And translation, Absalom is dead. The messenger tried to soften the blow by reminding David that Absalom rose up against him, but that's not going to work. 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for you, O Absalom, my son, my son." None of this had to be. David and his son Absalom had their differences, like all people do. But they didn't handle their differences biblically. They both handled them in the flesh, and that caused everything to spin out of control. You know, if they had prayed together and prayed for each other and confessed each other's sins, there would have been reconciliation. But instead, Absalom is dead, and David is grieving beyond words. See, when they responded in the flesh instead of in the spirit to their differences, and they didn't repent of that, then things just began to spin out of control until the whole thing was out of control and took on a life of its own and ended in disaster. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weeps and mourns for Absalom. Remember, Joab is the leader of the Israelite army. Joab is the one who disobeyed the king's command and killed Absalom. 2. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. When soldiers win a war or a battle, they deserve to celebrate. They deserve to be honored. But David's men could not be happy because the grief of the king spilled over to them. They did their best. They were faithful. They fought hard. They won the war. And now they get this. 3. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. David's men did their job well, but the king is acting as if they did it all wrong. And so the soldiers feel unappreciated. They feel ashamed. They feel like losers. They fought for the king, and now they feel like they let him down even though they won. They couldn't have done any more. And it wasn't their fault that Joab killed the king's son. They fought hard. They did their job. 4. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O, my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son. And the fire, as we know, Absalom died lost. And I think this was the reason for David's grief being so great. And he blamed himself too. You know, you think back when David's baby boy died, he comforted himself with the knowledge that someday he would see his son again. But there's no such comfort concerning Absalom. All indications are that Absalom did not have a personal relationship with God. David does not talk about seeing Absalom again. He doesn't comfort himself like he did with his infant son because he doesn't figure he will see his son again. When one person goes to heaven and the other goes to hell, that's it. Never again. 5. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, you have shamed this day the faces of all your servants, which this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and of your daughters and the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines. David is making his men feel like failures when they are winners. And Joab, their commander, is not going to sit back and just allow that to happen. He rebukes the king on behalf of his men. And we ought to stand up for people who are being falsely accused. We should be a friend to someone who is an unfair target of abuse. Jesus was. He was a friend to those types of people. 6. In that you love your enemies and hate your friends, for you have declared this day that you regard neither princes nor servants, for this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and we and all we had died this day, then it had pleased you well. And I think, you know what? I think Joab is onto something. It's right to love those who hate you. It is right to be concerned about people who are suffering for their sin. But it is not right to let that love and concern interfere with how you should be treating those who are good to you and those who are right with God. David's concern for Absalom was hurting those who had been good to David. And he's just taking this too far. Joab is right in rebuking him. 7. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you go not forth, there will not tarry one with you this night. And that will be worse unto you than all the evil that befell you from your youth until now. If David allows grief to keep him from doing what needs to be done, he's going to have more trouble than he has ever seen, and that would be a lot of trouble because he's seen an awful lot. We cannot afford to neglect what is right for any reason. We cannot let feelings keep us from doing what needs to be done. Trouble does not respect fear. And it does not respect grief, and it does not respect laziness. It just comes if we don't do the right thing. David needs to do the right thing. 8, then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king does sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled, every man to his tent. The gate was the place where a king acted like a king before his men. And that's what David is doing right here. And it makes his men feel better. Nothing was said, but his presence made all the difference in the world. When times are tough, words are not as important as just being there for someone. 9. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he is fled out of the land, for Absalom. And Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? Confusion is reigning in Israel. David was kicked off the throne, so he's not king. Absalom the rebel is dead, so he's not king. The people had jumped on the Absalom bandwagon, but that fizzled, so they're left with nothing. And so the Israelites talk about bringing David back. 11. And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house? You are my brethren, and that would be the tribe of Judah. You are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are you the last to bring back the king? Everyone else in Israel seems to be ready to bring David back, but his own relatives and the tribe of Judah, which he was a part of, seem to be dragging their heels. And David wants to know why. Familiarity breeds contempt, probably has something to do with it. Remember what Jesus said? He said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. 13. And say ye to Amasa, are you not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if you be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. Offering Amasa Joab's job as commander of the army was a risky move by David. Joab is not going to take that slap in the face lying down. I'll guarantee you, he's not the type. 14. And he, that is David, bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man. So they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all your servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilead to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Amasa was offered a position and given the responsibility, and he made the most of it. He succeeded in convincing all the leaders in Judah to follow David. 16. And Shimei, actually, you know what? I think this would probably be a good place to stop today. We're quickly running out of time. We'll pick it up in verse 15 next time when David actually returns to Jerusalem.